I'm glad you chose to be here this morning as we finish up this series called Finding Peace in Anxious Times. I hope and I pray that there's been something that in these 5 weeks or maybe even this morning that you can take away to use in your everyday, ordinary life. Because to me, that's the wonderful thing about Scripture. It's only valuable to us when we put it into practice. And you can ask her more after the service, but I'll share for in her behalf today. Shauna and a semi-truck met this week out on I-35 as she was getting ready to leave Liberty. And having experienced that myself, I know what kind of an anxious moment that is when you encounter a semi. And to look at her this morning, she has no bumps or bruises, no aches, no pains. And even as the glass shattered all over her windows and everything, she has no cuts or anything. And she just came in this morning and just with that grateful, broken heart to know that there's a God that cradled her and watched over her, and there were angels that encamped around her and kept her safe. And so she came in rejoicing this morning, and I hope that you rejoice with her as well. Isn't that wonderful? What a great, great story. That's right. There's plenty of things in life that can create anxiety and anxious moments. Just even for 5 minutes to watch the news, some of us just get so stirred up and frustrated and stressed and panicked, thinking, what is this world coming to? Anxiety can lead to chronic, perpetual states of worry, panic, fear. Worry, panic, and fear have the potential to impact our ability to function properly, and it can affect people's physical health, their mental health. In dealing with anxiety, worry, panic, and fear, it's critical to understand in this life that we are not going to be free of anxious moments. Jesus told us, in this world you will have trouble. But the same Jesus that told us that is the same one that told us, do not worry. And this morning we're going to kind of do some review as we wrap all this up, that to understand and go back and remember, why do experts say people worry? People worry because they have this belief that it can prevent something negative from happening, or that it might have some positive effect, that maybe there'll be a better solution, or they can maybe gain control or whatever. But how many people do you know that are filled with anxiety and worry and struggle with stress, that all of that has the opposite effect on them? That their physical health is wrecked with things like a pounding heart and sweating and upset stomach and diarrhea and shortness of breath and muscle tension and headaches. In week one, we were reminded that Jesus said, can you, any of you, by worrying add a single hour to your life? And the answer is no. In this series, we've talked about the fact that people who struggle with chronic anxiety feel like their life is out of control. They have struggle, difficulties managing pressure. They feel unsettled. They feel overwhelmed. At times, they even feel like God is so far away. And according to the National Institute of Mental Health, anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the United States, affecting over 40 million adults, ranging from ages 18 and older, or 18% of our population. The one thing that I've talked about every week in this series is those words of Dr. Archibald Hart in his book, The Anxiety Cure. He says one of the most effective strategies in dealing with anxiety is changing your thinking habits. And every week we've talked about how critical that is, what an important component that is to being a follower of Jesus Christ. Paul in his letter to the church of Rome talked about how God wants to change us from the inside out. That God wants to transform us by changing the way we think. He wants to change us into a new person. And so with that comes, on our part, a willful partnership. That we have to choose to be a willing participant. That's willful, purposeful, intentional. That we're going to join in this process. So that, as he would continue on in that very same verse, so that we don't copy culture. Paul would refer to it a different way in this letter known as in the New Testament as Galatians. He talked about this willful partnership is a phrase he uses called walking in the Spirit, or walk by the Spirit. And he says when we choose to do this willful partnership, that we're intentional about it, that it's purposeful on our part, he says, as we do this, the Spirit of God produces in our lives things that we desperately need, that we can't manufacture really on our own, that are helpful for relationships, that are helpful in our lives, things like love and joy, and as we've talked about in this series, something that we so desperately need in our life is peace. I like the way this reads in the paraphrase, the Message. Maybe some of you do your daily Bible study from this particular paraphrase of the Bible. It reads this way. It says, what happens when we live God's way? He says he brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, and serenity. One of the long-term effects of chronic anxiety is depression. And I know a lot of people that genuinely struggle with it all the time. And in that, I think about, as we've talked about through this series, the words of David. I so greatly appreciate the honesty and authenticity of reading genuine people just like us. When they would pour out their hearts to God, particularly in the Psalms. I love to read David's writings. When he would say, like in Psalm 42, why are you so sad? Why are you so upset down deep inside? Put your hope in God. That's why I spend so much time talking about how important this mission is. Of leading people to trust God. Because when we really can grasp that and we're willing to put the weight of our life on it, it really does help bring peace in anxious times. And again, if you take nothing away else from this series, I hope that you have got this one banked away. That verse from Isaiah 26, that God, you keep in perfect peace all who trust in you and whose thoughts are fixed on you. Because we need to remember that this Spirit that God gives those who move into their growing relationship with Jesus Christ is not a spirit of fear. That's what Paul told his young friend in the faith, Timothy. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Knowing all of these things is critical. It's so important for our everyday ordinary lives to know about God, to know about Him. Because if you were going to go in search of peace, you need to know where peace resides. That's God's nature. That is one of His characteristics. He is peace. He's never stressed, never anxious, never worries, never doubts, never fears, doesn't have any trouble making up His mind. He's never surprised. He lives in perfect calm. And that's why we talked about from J.I. Packer's book, Knowing God, he says, we are so cruel to ourselves if we try to live in a world without knowing about the God whose world it is and who runs it. This world becomes a strange, mad, painful place, and life in it is a disappointing and unpleasant business for those who do not know about God. If there's one thing that I would want anyone to know that struggles with anxiety, that faces anxious moments, is this. I would want them to know that there's someone who genuinely cares. Somebody genuinely cares about what you're facing, that knows what you're going through, that has promised they would be with you every step of the way, they'd stick with you, and they would love you unconditionally. And in a letter that was written to followers of Jesus Christ by one of Jesus' own inner circle of 12, when you read this letter that Peter wrote to people that were trying to live out in their everyday, ordinary life what it looked like to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you find these people genuinely were living in some very anxious times. And simply for just being followers of Jesus. And Peter reminds them of something so critically important that's important for us to know and for us to take away from here and to pack away and to never, ever, ever forget. As you get toward the back of his letter in chapter 5, verse 7, he writes these words to those who would read his letter. He says, referring about God, he says, he, about God, cares for you. If I could wish one thing for everybody that I have ever communicated with, anytime I have ever stood or sat before a group of people that I do or would ever communicate with, this is the one thing I would want people to understand more than anything, is that God genuinely cares about you. I ache sometimes over the reality that there is so much misunderstanding about the Creator God and about Christianity. Because I think so many people see Christianity in such negative light. They see it as just a set of rules and maybe a set of doctrines and beliefs and habits to practice and sins to avoid. But they miss out on the fact that it's really all about a genuine love relationship between us individually and us collectively as the body of Christ and the Creator. Because if you think about it for just a minute, religious activity apart from a loving relationship, then all you have is just empty ritual. Religious activity apart from a loving relationship with our loving Heavenly Father, then all of it is just empty ritual. No wonder Packer would write in his book about knowing God that the world becomes strange and mad and painful and disappointing and unpleasant for those that don't know about God. When I think about those words that Peter wrote, when he wanted to remind people who were going through some very anxious times, and we're going to talk about what those anxious times were in just a minute, when he said to them, I want you to know this, God cares about you. I always think about those words that God spoke through the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. And I think about this one a lot. Jeremiah 31:3, when God speaks to the prophet Jeremiah to speak of himself, he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And just think about that for just a minute. That the Creator would say to humanity, I have loved you with an everlasting love. What does that mean, an everlasting love? It would mean this. It would mean from eternity past, it would mean always this continuous existence that never ends. It's perpetual. It's indefinite. It's unending. There is no expiration date. That's the kind of love God loves us with. When God would say that, I have loved you that way, no wonder He's always, from the other side of the table, longed for people that would just love Him back that way. When He told His people, this is what I want you to do, when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? It's what God had said to His people, I want you to love me with all of your heart, with all of your soul. And Jesus said it this way, and with all of your mind. See, love requires more. Love is more than just warm fuzzies. It is more than just a sensual sensation. It requires an act of the will. Love requires intentionality. It has to be willful. It has to be purposeful. To sum it up in two words for those of us who want to be serious about loving God, it would be to use the words fully devoted. When Jesus uses the word mind, it's used in the sense of an intellectual, willful determination that would include a deliberate endeavor and strength. It would require exertion. God has never sought for or desired just empty words or empty ritual. In anxious times, it's so valuable and so crucial to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that somebody really cares. And Peter says to these followers of Jesus Christ who are dealing with anxiety over just being followers of Jesus, he says to them, referring to God, he says, He cares for you. And some of you here today, I'm going to guess, I'm probably not the only one in the group, but some of you, like me, find it very difficult to ask for help. Is anybody else in the group like that? I do. Because somehow we think, I'll figure it out. I'll make it work. I'll do whatever. We have this tendency to think or believe that no one would be interested in helping us, would have the time to help us. We would hate to bother anyone. But maybe like me, you might be relieved to find out that someone genuinely cares. They would willingly, genuinely be glad to help. How many of you find it embarrassing, maybe humiliating, to even ask for help? How many of you find it frustrating to struggle with or through situations that makes you anxious, just knowing there's somebody that knows more than you do? And it's too difficult, it's too embarrassing to ask for help. But sometimes I have to swallow my pride. I have to admit my limitations. I have to acknowledge my lack of knowledge, understanding, my ability, my strength, my limits. And how much easier then is it to ask someone when you know that they would be glad to help and that they really care? How much easier is it to ask someone to help you when you know they really care? How much easier is it for you to draw from someone else's knowledge, experience, expertise, when you know that they'd love to share it, if you just ask? How much easier is it to get through something or to get something accomplished when you have help? It's critically important for us to really come to understand and believe what Peter wrote to these followers of Jesus when he told them, referring to God, he cares about you. You need to know in anxious times the reality of someone that cares and that would be willing to help and even help you find peace. When Peter writes this letter, he's writing to people that are followers of Jesus Christ who are facing very anxious times in their lives. He's writing to people who lived under the rule of the Roman emperor named Nero. And if you've ever read anything about him, he was one of the most brutal emperors in Roman Empire history. Because of his lust for power, his lust to build, and after he had bankrupted the nation, he set the city of Rome on fire. He literally destroyed it, everything that existed, which left the people helpless and hopeless. This devastating fire created this bitterness and resentment among the people, and the emperor, needing to find a place for the people to turn their resentment, he spread the word that the followers of Jesus, the Christians, had set the fire. And as a result, vicious persecution against Christians broke out, and it spread throughout the entire Roman Empire. Nero was so cruel that he would take Christians and dress them up in wild animal skins and then turn wild dogs loose on them to tear them from limb to limb. He would set followers of Jesus Christ on fire and make them human torches to light his gardens. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never lived through that kind of anxiety. And this is the kind of situation that Peter writes to followers of Jesus Christ, and he reminds them that they're not without hope. He reminds them, he uses the word not to be surprised at their fiery trials. And to remember the example that Jesus set, and that by doing good, that they could even silence the ignorance of people that just didn't know any better. It would be important for fellow followers of Jesus to know that in the midst of anxious times, this is how this whole verse goes in 1 Peter 5:7. This is what it says. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Let's all say that together this morning. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Now, I want you to know this morning, that's where anxiety belongs. You need to cast it on him, on God, because he cares about you. So let me paint you the picture of what this looks like, of what the original meaning of this looks like. The word cast, when Peter talks about cast all your cares on him, it has the meaning of like throwing something onto something, like maybe a blanket on a donkey or on a mule. The picture is that of just what you're going to shift the weight and the load over to someone else who will carry it. I wonder when I read these words that Peter maybe was mindful as growing up as a Torah observant Jew, that maybe as he had learned the law and the prophets and the Old Testament songs, if he maybe had thought of David's word in Psalm 55:22 when David penned these words, cast all your cares on the Lord and he'll sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. If we could better understand that God is willing, as it were, if you could just in your own mind's eye get this word picture today of what Peter was saying and what David was saying, is this idea is put all of your anxiety, take it and throw it over onto the pack mule, and let Him carry the load for you. You got to get it off and put it on somebody who really cares, who's all wise, who's all powerful, who lives in perfect peace, who genuinely cares about you. And let Him lighten this load of anxiety that so often can just absolutely wear you down. A lot of people, I've heard, you know, Christians, and maybe I've seen people write it and people say it, this idea, well, just let go and let God. Well, it's more than that passive thing. It calls to action. You literally have got to get involved in the process. You shift the load. You throw it over there. That's where we take the first step in moving the load of anxiety. The recognition of dependency. The verses just prior to this, when Peter talks about cast all your care on Him, before he pins those words, he says this. He says, all of you, clothe yourselves. Here it is again. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. This idea that we have to understand sometimes. We have to understand that we're not all powerful. We're not all wise. We're not all knowing. That we need help from someone who genuinely cares. If you could realize that the Creator God offers not only to shoulder or share the load, He offers, as it were, to be the pack mule to carry the load that could crush you. And you wouldn't dare even think about it unless you really knew someone really for sure cares. And Peter says you can do it because He cares for you. The Creator offers you the opportunity to throw your load of anxiety, worry, fear, or panic onto Him because He cares for you. Cares means that God has a vital interest in you. He has given thought about you, what He can do, and what He's already done. And what that requires of us is to recognize we're not God. That requires humility. That requires we have to admit that we're not all powerful. That requires we have to admit that we're not all wise. That requires we have to come to the determination that David, as we talked about throughout this series, like in Psalm 121, we have to ask the question, where does my help come from? He answers his own question. My help comes from the Lord, who cares for me, the maker of heaven and earth. David came to this realization. We need to come to the realization from Psalm 55:22 that you can cast your cares on the Lord. He'll sustain you. He'll never let the righteous be shaken. So what do I want you to take away from here? What I want you to take away from here this weekend, from this series, and every weekend, it's this, what Peter said. In 1 Peter 5:7, cast all of your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. That's where your anxiety belongs. The Creator God wants you to trust Him. That requires that you don't just lean on your own understanding. And He wants you. And He wants you to experience peace in anxious times. And you can take those steps every day toward throwing your load of anxiety and on Him when you come to really understand He really cares about you. Let's pray. Maybe this morning we're, God, maybe we're like the psalmist when he said, what is man that you are mindful of him? Thank you for these words of hope and encouragement that can bring peace to our anxious hearts and minds. to know that there's someone who genuinely cares. Though some place where we can take and shift this load that maybe we've carried way too long. I'm so grateful to know today, God, that there's nothing that you don't know about me and you still care about me. I pray today that those words would be that which could even just lighten the load for someone today that wonders, do you really care? That they would come to understand that you've gone to tremendous lengths, more than we deserve, to demonstrate that you have loved us with an everlasting love, that you genuinely care. And that would help us to take those steps towards you, who compel us all who are weary, weak, and heavy laden. Come to me, Jesus said, and I'll give you rest. And I pray we would this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being here. I'm always around at the end of the service. Maybe somebody needs somebody to talk to, even to pray with. Maybe today to say, man, I'm just so glad to finally understand God really cares. And if sometime you need somebody to talk to pray with, I'd love to be that person that could see what we can do to help you along in your spiritual journey. Your spiritual development, maybe to take that first step across the line of belief and find that peace that passes all human understanding, knowing you're right with God. But for now, I just invite you to stand as Kevin leads us in our closing song.